Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, beneficial ownership, cannabis, and the parish walk. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newsham's Jess Ward.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Now, it says here in my script you're back from your travels, but, you know, was it a travel? Are you counting this one as a travel?
I wouldn't have put that, but I have been away.
You have been away.
So have you.
So I have, yeah. I've been to two places, you know.
Well, don't show off.
Like
now.
Judith Chalmers.
You're taking over my title.
No, well, no, no.
I don't think anybody can.
No. Yeah. So where have you been, Katie?
I went to London.
You did?
To see Fleetwood Mac at Wembley.
And I went to London to see Fleetwood Mac at Wembley.
But we didn't go together.
No, we didn't. That's how rumours start.
Yeah.
Tuesday night.
Good album, that, actually.
Yep, Tuesday night. It was a good night.
Yeah. Whereabouts were you?
We were seated because we got the tickets super late after a lot of wine one night. So we took what we could get.
And where was that?
It was good, actually. Where were we? It wasn't high up because I remember...
Were you at the back of the stadium?
It's quite far back, but not high.
Right.
Because I didn't feel like I was going to plummet to my death at any point.
It's always good. It's always good.
This is
reassuring.
I was front row centre.
Not front row,
sitting in section B.
That's really good.
My wife hadn't told me how much she'd paid for the tickets till I saw the stubs. We may have to sell our firstborn to pay for that. So if anyone wants a 14-year-old who's fairly good at FIFA, get in touch. We had a lovely seats. It was very good. Obviously, we stood up.
I didn't see one person sat down.
No, that's always a good sign of a few good gigs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
It was very good. I'm not a massive Fleetwood Mac fan, I have to say, but I did enjoy it. My personal highlight, I don't know how long were you in for the support act?
So yes.
Pretenders, was Ali Campbell turning up of UB40 for one song and then disappearing again. There was lots of little cameos and stuff like that, because obviously there was the people from Crowded House.
Don't get me started.
I'm so jealous.
Earlier on, Dave Norton, who is a big Fleetwood Mac fan, was asking how they got around the Lindsay Buckingham not being in the group thing. And I mentioned, the bloke from Crowded House is there.
And then she just heard me shrieking in the corner.
Turns out Jess is a massive Crowded House fan.
I mean, they're from my hometown.
Yeah, so they did...
Don't Dream It's Over.
Don't Dream It's Over with Stevie Nicks, which is very good.
Beautiful.
And then there was the man from the Tom Petty Band, who dressed very loudly, I felt. Did you see his yellow jacket?
He was very well dressed, man.
He could have been in Motley Crue as well with that hat.
Yes, and beautiful hair.
Yes. But they did Free Falling in the encore.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Along with
Before they went into Don't Stop to close it.
Nice.
Was that your favourite song?
No.
What was your favourite?
My favourite song was You Make Love and Fun.
Oh.
Or I also enjoyed Rhiannon, because that's my favourite Fleetwood Mac song.
Okay.
And I liked Gold Dust Woman.
I quite like The Chain. That was good.
Yeah, that's...
I went to the bar when I heard The Chain starting, and I...
That's not a bar song.
Never ran back quicker in my life.
Something that used to be the F1.
Yeah.
And was ITV did that.
And I think it was BBC, old school. But yes, of course, it's been played all over the place. Mick Fleetwood is...
He's away with the fairies.
Correct. His drum solo was something else.
It was worth the money alone for that drum solo, which went on for, I want to say, 20 minutes of him just making noises at the crowd whilst drumming.
With his eyes closed. So then he kept going, "Are you there? Are you there?" And then people were
Don't be shy.
But he said it in some sort of strange... Again, it was a strange accent. Because then when he started talking, he's British. You know, he's got an English accent. But he was like, "Are you there?" It was very odd. But also dressed like the boat guy from Rosie and Jim. But apparently he's always dressed like that.
Yeah, he was on one show. I want to say with like Little Mix. It was something very bizarre like that this past week. And it was just this picture of him in like these bright trousers with a waistcoat on.
Yeah.
And then just the four of them sat next to him. And he just looks like he has no idea who the hell they are.
No.
I don't think he knows who his own bandmates are. Three of them didn't seem
to know who he was.
No.
And he's just like... You wouldn't look at him and think, he's one of the biggest rock gods in the past sort of 40 years.
To be fair, he can play the drums.
He can.
And he let them have a break while he played the drums for a long time.
Yeah, he could probably do a whole show, just him on the drums.
Shouting, "Are you there?"
With his eyes closed.
Yeah. He did open them eventually, but that's only when that other bloke came on with the bongos.
Who he got super excited by, didn't he?
Oh yeah, well, there's a lot of spoilers here.
So the guy that had the yellow, was it blazer shirt?
Yeah, he was a guitarist, yeah.
Was he, did you feel inspired by him on your stag duty?
Yes, because prior to that, I had been in Dusseldorf on a stag this weekend, and I had a lovely yellow shirt, which I ended up having to buy in Dusseldorf because I forgot my original SH asterisk t-shirt. Yeah.
I thought it was a beautiful shirt.
I didn't know that was a thing. Apparently they're on trend now. SH t-shirts are on...
Big fashion.
Yeah, big fashion. Sorry, it was quite easy to pick that up. But Dusseldorf's lovely as well. It was at 29 degrees. Lots of ale for a euro. Can't go too wrong, to be honest. Lovely city as well. Lots of nice architecture. Yeah. Although you have to pay for the toilet everywhere.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you do in Germany, though, don't you? Mm.
And there's usually an attendant that gets very irate if you don't pay.
It's not even like you have to pay. Is it like you have to pay like a little slot, even if you have to give it to somebody?
Oh, no, they had a little red
coin
box.
Machine.
Mm. See. In Spain, they've gone in for that, but they've just sort of like started employing people to sit outside toilets.
Right. But before we move on, I just want to say last week we said, oh, do a postcard. Mm-hmm. The Germany, so efficient, they seem to have done away with post boxes. So I couldn't actually.
You didn't see any?
No, I think they've just gone straight to electronic mail.
Wow.
Then I saw something I thought was a post office, but it turned out to be a bank. Posta Bank. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. If you've enjoyed this week's travel doc, yeah. Yeah.
If you're not a Fleetwood fan,
no postcard from the stuff then?
No.
It's a shame, but...
It is a shame. But there you go. Sam, you had a very exciting week. Obviously, we mentioned I was in Dusseldorf for the stag, but meant I missed out on one of the Alemann newspaper's social gatherings of the year.
Oh.
Yeah, it was our big quiz of the year, organised by producer Emma, who is
taking time off to recover.
It's actually weird not seeing her staring at the corner of the room. Yeah. But yeah, she organised it, and my team won.
Good. Randomly assigned teams as well.
Yes. It was
drawn out of a hat, wasn't it?
We had to pick them out of a hat. Mm. So we were four teams with four regular quiz fans. So Sam was on one team, I was on one team.
Oh, you like the captains?
Yes.
Mm. Right.
It's whoever we knew were good at quizzes. They were leading the
like seeded.
Because if not, we could have very technically picked our teams for pure winning purposes. Because exactly. I didn't know who I would have picked.
But you won.
Yeah, it does also mean that I'm a two-time defending champion. Now.
Oh.
I've won quiz last year as well, when Kate was part of my team.
I won it last year. Didn't win it this year.
No, you didn't.
Producer, you
were close, though.
For somebody who travels the world as much as you do, you know nothing about flags.
I said, the minute the flag round came out, I said, I'm not good at flags.
She did say that on Thursday as well.
Yeah.
Producer Emma kindly gave me a sneak peek of the quiz last Thursday under threat of death if I revealed any answers to anyone, which I can now reveal I didn't. It was a very tough quiz she put together this year, including the flag round.
The flag round was horrible. The sports was the worst.
Absolutely. Yeah, you scored the highest with 4.5 out of 10.
There was nearly a row broke over that. It was the British or the British Empire games or the Empire games and the Commonwealth games and...
One of the questions was, what is the fastest sport that isn't motorised?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
And was it cycling?
No.
It was skydiving.
You know
that sport?
Yeah, you know you famously need a plane.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what everyone was arguing.
But anyway, that's
why producer Emma's taking some time off. Jess, good week?
Yeah, it's been good. Got some good stories in the... Examiner and the Manx Indie, and I'm doing a follow-up actually because I did a piece about officers who lended their hands in helping a man who had suffered a cardiac arrest.
Right.
Because the police officers were part of the longest day, longest ride, which I think our sports editor won.
He also was on the winning team, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I've managed to speak to the guy who suffered from the cardiac arrest, and so there will be more out in the Examiner on that. And he's well, yeah.
Good.
He's doing well. He's going to have an operation, so we'll see how it goes.
Right, well, let's crack on with the news. We've talked enough about Fleetwood Mac and Dusseldorf and quizzes. It's all downhill from here now, kids. Sam, we'll kick off. You said, you've put in the script, there was lots for you to choose from this week. It's been a very newsy week.
There was. I mean, I haven't even put the main one in there for me, which was a real surprise this week, is the front page of The Independent, which is the potential return of Bruce Anstey.
The motorcycling legend. Mm.
That is. Which, obviously, he's been out for a while with his illness, and everyone on the island always, of course, wishes him well that he's back soon. And so there's a story there about fundraising for him on that.
So this is the try, hopefully try and get him back in for the Classic TT this year, is it?
Yes. We don't know anything else on it at the minute, to be honest. He's
famously a very private man, actually.
Very difficult to get a hold of.
Yeah. He lives in Windsor, near the Queen.
Okay.
Yeah, but half Manx.
Have you ever seen them two in the room at the same time?
I haven't. So...
That's how rumours start. But also we've got this week, we've got TV licences for the over 75s, which of course BBC UK have announced they're scrapping, so there's what goes on there from our point of view, because of course Tim will pass a motion in 2016 saying they won't be paying for them on the Armand, so we don't really know what happens there. Mm-hmm. Ralph Peake is UK Politician of the Year.
Wow, quite a coveted award. This year in particular.
It is. I mean, it was some strong competition, for sure. He's done really well, Matt. It's to do with a charity which he's works with to do with improving mental health and improving their situation in society. And he's done a lot to build down stigma on that. But the one I decided to go for was beneficial ownership.
Yes.
And the island's creation of a public register.
Now, for the layperson, beneficial ownership, can you give us a very stripped-down version of what that is?
In essence, it's who owns companies.
Okay.
A famous example at the minute, of course, is Arron Banks and Rock Holdings, which is based in Victoria Street. The fact that he owns part of that company, which owns another company, and there's also other people who own parts of these companies. Mm. It's so that we in the press and the wider public can find out who owns these companies and how much of these companies they own.
So what is the advantage of being not as overt about what companies you own?
That's a legal minefield. In essence, because the Isle of Man is financially separate from the UK just enough, in the same way that the overseas territories are, they benefit from a relationship with London from the banking and financial side of things, but they're separate away in a different jurisdiction. So you can have money, for instance, in a company here, which you may live in South Africa, for instance, and you have money in a company here, and you may also have company in Seychelles. So it just relates to tax, basically.
That thing.
And that's been rumbling on. And ourselves, along with the Crown Dependencies there, Jersey and Guernsey, we've sort of developed a weird relationship then in the past few years. It feels like, we're suddenly very pally.
Mm. The Robins to our Batman.
Mm. Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I suppose one of them could be Albert.
Possibly.
Guernsey's always struck me as a little bit older. They could be Albert, Jersey could be Robin, and we could be Batman.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, we've got the speed because we've got the TT, so we're used to dealing with very powerful.
Like that.
So we're good. We're happy. Right. Yeah. So because of the thing called the European Union's fifth anti-money laundering.
Here we go.
Oh no! What? Anti-money laundering directive.
Right.
Okay. There we go. Right.
Always on the tip of your tongue.
I wrote down the initials. Went. I forget that.
There
we go. So that's coming out to 2022. Mm-hmm. By the end of 2023, it is hopeful that the island is going to have a public register, so we will all be able to see who owns what. Yeah. This comes back round to Dame Margaret Hodge in the UK and Andrew Mitchell, who people remember from Plebgate, which is one of the greatest scandals of the coalition government. And they have been trying to include this on amendments to various different bills in the UK, basically to force us to do it by the end of next year, 2020. And this is our way of saying, look, we're not doing that because we set the international standard. This is going to become the international standard. So we're happy to move along and do it.
Okay. Do we think some companies may move away quietly from the Isle of Man because of this?
I mean, they may do. They may choose to. But it's getting harder around Europe. I mean, they've just had a big crackdown in Switzerland on these sort of companies. And it'll be the same thing in the Crown Dependencies and the overseas territories. It came up in America recently in a Congress hearing. This is the sort of stuff that I listen to, by the way. Congress hearing where the FBI, one of their assistant directors, he pointed out that Delaware in America is really bad for these sorts of things, but praised the work that the Isle of Man does in countering tax avoidance and that through the register we have at the minute, which isn't open to us, but it's open to law enforcement. So, yeah, we're going to go around that. But, of course, in the UK they've got an open register, but you get Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse listed as directors.
Right.
So it's that's why Howard Quayle is saying that we want to have this. We're looking in a few years down the line so we can create a proper system that actually works and we know who people are. Yeah. In the same way to what banks have been doing the past few years, KYC, if anyone works, who gets them letters saying, who are you, where does your money come from? It's going to be a similar sort of thing to that, I imagine.
So it's just a sort of tightening, cleaning up of things, really, isn't it?
Transparency.
Transparency. Good word, that, Jess. Well done.
Keyword.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
We've talked about this before on the podcast, haven't we?
We have, yeah. It's a regular kind of feature.
So the Isle of Man government have been looking... They had a consultation.
Yes, they've had a six-week consultation.
About the legalisation of cannabis. For medicinal
cannabis.
I corrected myself there. Medicinal cannabis. Right.
Yes.
So some of the initial results have come back, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So responses have come back and they got just over 3,000 replies to the medicinal cannabis consultation, and then just over 1,000 to the hemp, which is to have it in like industrial hemp produced over here. Mm-hmm. And so 55% of people who took part in the medicinal cannabis consultation, they said they were in favour of the option to have quality assured medicinal cannabis products direct to public, but this would be through accredited dispensaries.
Only 55%?
Yeah.
I thought it would have been a bit higher.
I thought it would have been a bit
higher.
Yeah,
I thought so too. But so I suppose, because there were quite a few options, to be fair. I can't remember them at the moment. But I thought that was quite interesting. And then 62% were in favour of restricting access to medicinal cannabis for under 18s, so
right.
It's a little bit higher. But I suppose when like you look at what's hitting the headlines in the UK in terms of children who are suffering from seizures, and they're saying that this medicinal cannabis helps, it's quite an interesting take to look on.
Sparks another debate almost.
What I
was taking, the hemp production, was that more positive?
Yeah, that was very positive actually. So that was 97% of people actually were in favour of having industrial hemp produced over here, but that's due to like it's under regulations and certain restrictions. And Julie Blackburn, who wrote the piece, she spoke to farmer Bob Comish, and he was really delighted with the positive response really. And because he's looking to grow it here in the Isle of Man, and he says that it can replace plastic and as a biodegradable alternative, so that's quite good. And it can be used to make certain fabrics and all sorts, so there's a lot of use for it.
So going back to the medicinal cannabis, which was probably the buzz topic, as it were, what's the next step for that? You know, is the government have now got these figures in? Is it, where do they go with that from here?
So I think it's being discussed at the moment. So Health Minister David Ashford, he's kind of, they're going to essentially go through it. But I suppose it goes to the Tynwald Court afterwards. So
right, but it's moving forward all the time.
Yeah, but I suppose it'll be one of those we'll wait and see kind of moments, because
I think they were trying to avoid the situation in the UK where they've gone, yeah, you can do it, but then you get the GPs going, I'm not prescribing that.
Right.
Yeah.
So then they're trying to avoid that situation, which is why it could take a little bit longer than people think.
Okay. So there's more on that story in this week's Examiner, page 7.
Yep, page 7.
And I've just, but we heinously forgot to say this before. If you wanted to hear more about the beneficial ownership, that's in this week's Courier, and of course on the Independent as well. Page.
Yeah, there'll be a bit in the Courier about it. Howard Quayle's been down in London, and there's also stuff in the Independent as well for that.
It's funny you mentioned Howard Quayle. You said was in London. My mate was on the plane back with the same plane back with him last night. I think I won't tell you which airline, but does that make that plane our Air Force One? That was the question he asked me. So.
Quayle Force One.
Quayle Force One.
I mean, hold on, there was somebody else in that flight, wasn't there, Katie? What happened? What happened last night, Katie?
Well, me and my dad might have seen, you know those moving escalator things, the flat ones that you walk along at the airport? We saw one of them, got incredibly excited, like ran onto it, started walking along, and it was only as we caught up with Howard Quayle, who was walking alongside us a lot slowly, because he's not on the moving floor.
Yeah.
And we realised that we were nowhere near the gate. We were going to have to go right past it and then walk all the way back. So he turned round just as me and my dad are going, oh, we're so stupid. And he was like, long day, guys.
Yeah. And did he have like loads of security with him?
No, I think he was just casually strolling along in his suit.
Man of the people, you see.
Do you reckon he's a speedy boarder?
I did not watch him. Check on his expenses on that one.
A freedom of information.
Yeah.
Right, that more revealed on a podcast on that in a podcast in the future. Talking of speedy walking, not speedy boarding, It's something very big happening this weekend, Jess. Yeah. I'm sure you've looked at the back of Independent.
I have indeed.
So what is it?
Parish Walk.
It is Parish Walk weekend. So anyone doing it? We're looking around the room. You're looking very quite vacant.
No, not this year. Absolutely not.
Have you done it?
Yeah, I've done it twice.
And how far did you get?
So the furthest I've got is Jerby, which is, I think, 65 miles.
It's good, good no, step, that.
Yes, I think.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
No, 45. It's 45 miles, yeah.
So it's a good step, that.
Yeah, just over half, I think.
And had you done much training for it?
So for that one, my friend and I had done a bit of training. Probably not as much as we should have done, but we were a bit more prepared than what I was the previous year. I didn't know training whatsoever. But yeah, my feet were just in absolute blisters by
and
the end of it.
What was the weather like that
It was really good, actually. Yeah. It wasn't too hot because the year before was a scorcher. Yeah, so it wasn't too hot and there was no rain, so it was good conditions.
Pretty much ideal conditions. Yeah. Yeah. Kate, you ever done it now?
Nope.
No.
It sounds like a very long day. I get a really short attention span. I think that's my main concern. Okay. And you can't have headphones in anymore, can you?
No, you can't.
No.
How are you going to walk with no music?
Well, actually, some people have like stereos and they kind of blast some tunes while you're walking.
Yeah, you're going to take an old school boombox while you're walking along you and your crowded house.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, like, you know, me and my sort of, this is a ridiculous law sort of way, would definitely just walk down the road with like a giant boombox just blaring it through Onken Village.
Definitely keep switching
like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Switch it on both, you know,
the
shoulders.
Yeah,
I'll just walk through the village,
it's also to the speakers now, isn't it? Yeah. But, yeah,
so but it's really good like in terms of community because everyone is out like and with their stalls and you get loads of like nice little snacks.
So there's 1,600 entered for Saturday's event, which I think starts at 8 a.m. in the NSC.
Yeah.
I think I should know. It is 8 a.m. in the NSC. You start with the lap of the course of the track and then it's out onto the access road and along to your first church, isn't it? So, yeah, this 1,600. Richard Gerrard, who is Mr. Parish Walk, I would say, for the modern generation, he's going for a record equaling 6th win this year. He seems to be the favourite to do it, so he could. But 83 miles, and he usually does it just, I think he usually finishes about midnight, doesn't he? So it's not a bad step of pace.
Yeah, his timing is amazing.
The weather, for all those people who are listening out for that, is again, looks to be ideal. Not going to be too hot, but sunny, because it's not very nice when it's raining either, is it?
No.
So there's going to be tons of that in our press. But the next week, we've got obviously a bit of a report on the winners in the Examiner, and then there's an 8-page Parish Walk, not supplement sort of thing in the middle of next week's Indy. So,
an 8-page Parish Walk, not supplement.
You can't, I don't think you can pull it out.
Okay.
So I don't think that counts as a supplement. So I think it's just 8 pages in the middle of next week's Independent.
Okay. Just full of photos and
full of photos,
good content.
Statistics, everything you could want.
I think we should do it next year, Kay.
Do you?
Yeah, we could work out a way to bring in what it's been missing all this time is beer and wine.
Beer and wine. No, you do get beer at the top of the slot. There is a.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I missed. Oh wait, I did get gin one year. Gin and tonic.
Are you accepting drinks from strangers?
I didn't know them. So.
I like that. You're going. You can get a drink. You're accepting drinks from strangers.
Yeah. Well, beer's beer, you know.
Yeah, you take a beer from anyone, don't you?
Yeah.
So I was talking to someone actually, and they said that what the Parish Walk is missing is outrageous costumes, like. For big events.
It is quite a long time to be wearing a dog suit.
But if you're
suit,
just planning to go to, like, Russian or Peel.
Who stops at Russian? You don't mean,
quite a few. Quite a few.
Well, I suppose. It's those that don't look at the sock and go,
they're like,
stuff
nah,
that.
Call it quits.
There's one. Let's find it. Whatever costume we can come up with is the most popular suggestion of anyone who listened in, sends anything in. I'll end the Parish Walk next year in a fancy dress costume.
Okay, at Max, I nearly gave you the Max Football Podcast.
Do you mean next year?
It's too late for this year.
Yeah, it's too late for this year. He's not going to get an entry on the line. At IOM News Podcast on Twitter and, of course, on Instagram, do shoot us a message about what Sam could wear for next year's Parish Walk.
If you do the Parish Walk, I'm not doing it, but if you do it, I'll be that person that drives along to make sure you're alive at every stop.
And I'd rather you
doing all right. Well, that's
Jess
a job,
drives
isn't
like
it?
A maniac, so I'm not having her anywhere near me when I'm walking on the road. But you'll be fine.
Don't start those tales.
I'll borrow someone's car. I'll be there. Support
you've
you.
Got a car?
I don't have a car.
Did you see this week's? Sorry to interrupt this tiff. But did you see this week's Men's Independent? It was the longest day, longest ride mountain bike race this weekend.
Yeah.
This is the big 24-hour mountain bike race. And they have a prize for best fancy dress. And this year, one of the teams had gone as Slinky from Toy Story.
That's amazing.
So they were joined. One was the front end and one was the back end. So that they won best fancy dress. I think that could have got potential.
Yeah, we need another person.
Well, we'll find someone. Jess will do it.
You know, and you're not allowed to go. You're not allowed to connect to somebody else, are you? So. Actually, it would work with Slinky because you could be at the front and I'd be like dragging down the
back. Halfway around the plantation.
Yeah.
You'd be in Russian and she'd be like this thing over the slot.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
So we step back, as always, into the Isle of Man Newspapers DeLorean. We go back to a publication I have never heard of, I don't know about you, Sam, to July 18th, a rare Saturday paper, July 18th, 1953. This would have set you back 2 pence at the time, and it was the what?
The Castletown Gazette and Southern Advertiser.
Now, I'd never heard of this.
No, that's new.
Yeah, so it's not got a lot of stories on the front, has it?
I love the font.
But there is
I
it.
Do like
it's
the font.
Funky.
It's a very nice font, and there's lots
very
of
adverts
for us to discuss in a minute. So, Kate, if you keep your eye on them, we'll start with the story on the main story on the front, Sam, which is about.
Yeah, actually, just for that, I know it's normally This Week in History. There is a reason why it's the 18th of July, which is because I really like the. If you look at it, it's got. Oh, we'll get a picture of this on the Twitter and all that. The A has got artistic decoration at the start of the paragraph.
Oh, that's
it.
Pretty.
That's very nice.
So that's the only reason we got it is because I thought it looked pretty.
So I think, if I'm right, this is only the 9th ever Castletown Gazette and Southern Advertiser because it says volume 1, number 9. So.
But it says that... Oh, okay, no, never mind. I thought it was established then, but...
No.
Scratch over.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a scheme to bring double-decker buses onto the square. And it was adopted by Castletown commissioners.
There was one person that didn't want the double deckers in Castletown.
It's always one.
Mr. Taggart. He didn't like the thought
doesn't
of double
doesn't like change.
He thought the traffic would be mother.
He's from Castletown, not Glasgow.
Yeah, but Taggart, when are you going to get that chance again?
Oh, fair point. Yeah,
this that was unken a bit, AFC that was legend head, Callum Taggart is going to appear one.
It says here they would have to implement halt signs and one way systems just to get this bus round.
Yeah, which of course we all know never had to happen.
Yeah.
So there we go. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's quite like when they brought the bendy bus around. And
but did
ago,
you see but... what the there was going to have to be some essential strengthening of the swing bridge? I don't know how big these buses were, but
I don't know. I mean, I suppose that they all. You look at old buses; they all are built of steel. You know, they're big, heavy things. Aren't
they? Yeah. And how much was it going to cost?
Was this the limit of £6?
No, that's a different story we'll come back to in a minute.
Oh, God, it is, isn't it? It's £200 to £300.
The layout's very confusing. I'm sure you probably paid more than that for your Fleetwood Mac tickets.
Well, we did. We could have got a double-decker bus and Castletown for what we paid for our Fleetwood Mac tickets. Yeah. It's a lovely analogy. Right, there was also... The Castletown Commission were busy that week. There was a couple of things they also decided. They also decided that they weren't going to advertise in the Tourist Guide Isle of Man anymore.
Yeah,
and the £6 you're thinking about is because the Castletown Bowling Club were asking for some prize money for a competition.
Yeah, and the commission's agreed to limit that to £6.
Yeah. But what was the other story that week?
The transport services in the south of the island.
So I presume this is what the double decker was also involved in.
Yeah. So a public meet was convened in the Sheening of Russia for the purposes of discussing the question of public transport in the south of the island. I mean, this is, 53, so the trains are still running.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't had their gap at that point, so they're still running. But then, they're saying about they were going to have a public meeting in Port St. Mary on Monday the 20th of July at 7:30. So, if anybody went to that...
Yeah, please do get in touch.
But yeah, it's just such a... It is a weird layout, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kate, what's your favourite ad?
I just like that they're really paying attention to flowers and... plants this week. Gardening time in the bottom right corner.
Jake Walter and Co. Obviously
spades,
still going
forks,
strong.
Trowels.
I like it.
Your favourite ad, Jess?
I'm just curious as to what square dances are.
So you dance in the square.
Is it literally that? Square dances?
I thought it was like kind of like that, not like a hoedown type thing, but it's a hoedown.
There is a certain amount of formation about it.
Yeah, I can't imagine it in 1953 Castletown people organising a hoedown.
Well, you never know.
You weren't there, Sam.
It's the deep south.
You don't know me.
You don't know.
Sam, what's your favourite ad?
Ooh, my favourite ad. I like the... I can't say that because it starts with Reeves. I'm going to go for Cool's Cafe in Port St. Mary.
Okay.
Luncheons.
Simply because it has luncheons, diners, teas, and morning coffee.
The Square Dance, just for those Square Dance fans listening, was in Port St. Mary Town Hall.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday, 8 to 11 on a school night. Like,
wild.
That is tuition and a calling by Vicky Leavis. So she must be like the one that he says, you know, to the left, yeah, take it back now, you're...
Two horses down.
There was also various other adverts from bakers and confectioners to for efficient service and serve the shop with W.E. Conrad, grocers, provision... Is that provision dealers? Oh, prohibition?
Are you looking?
Provision dealers?
Prohibition? I don't know. Just go on to the iMuseum yourselves and have a look. So that's the Castan Gazette and Southern Advertiser of the 18th of July, 1953. Jolly good find, that, Sam. Right, Max, word of the week.
Yeah, so there's nothing to inform you about last week because it was the first week ever where you all guessed the Manx word of the week was.
Which
so we had learning.
It had to happen at one point, didn't
it? We had Fullion, which was... It was a gull. It's a seagull for obviously our Barbie gull on the island.
Our Barbie gull seems to have gone quite viral on social media this week. I've seen
it
pop up.
Isn't it?
It's all over my timeline.
Is it?
Yeah. And then when I opened the indie today, it was a big bit there as well.
So. Yeah, there was some weird pink powder found at it was a reservoir in just outside of Onkin.
So
I'm wondering. Yeah, I'm wondering if maybe the Barbie gull has something to do with that.
The Barbie gull had been tagged. Not by a graffiti artist, but by
scientific.
Yeah.
Doodle.
Have we not got a definitive answer on the Barbie gull's
pinkness? It's kind of... lots of people have been saying it's to do with science, but I don't know.
I think we should get Inspector Clouseau on the case.
So it's not definitely science. It could literally be a group of kids who've dyed a seagull pink.
That makes it more sinister.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
There's some...
But then what's with the pink powder eclipse? Was it all?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where they were hanging out.
I think we do need to get a definitive answer on this.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Who's our Barbie gull correspondent?
Adrian Derbyshire.
Oh, he's on holidays, isn't he?
He is, yeah. So
that's why
we've
got no answer this week.
No.
We will find an answer.
But if anybody has any photos still or any videos, I mean, we really ideally want to get a video of this gull.
Right.
Then can you send that to us? So that would be at IOM News Podcast or at IOM Newspapers.
On Instagram.
On Instagram and Twitter. Or Facebook.
On the Facebooks as well, aren't we? What's pink gull in Manx, Katie?
I can't remember the word for pink. I would have prepared with my colours. But no, we found a load of Manx words in... And you.
It's a picture of me, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously one of our colleagues who left never cleared out his drawers, and we've been going through them the last few weeks... And
raffling off the contents.
Yeah, and there was a lot of Learn Manx things found in his drawers, and one of them has a picture of a young Andy playing rugby on it.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. They didn't recognise me, it's only when I went over and saw it.
Hold on, was it part of the book or was it just a picture that he kept?
It's a bit weird though, isn't it? Him having a photo of you and his...
He also had a photo of some roadkill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Swings him roundabout. So
yeah.
So what is we get? Well, once again, we digress. What's this week's Manx word of the week, Katie?
This is, to be honest, it's a word that's not connected to anything we've discussed today.
What?
I was feeling a bit kind of summery.
Right.
Okay.
So it's cash till Jenny.
Cash till Jenny.
And for the Germanic listeners amongst you, cash till Jenny.
I like it.
Jenny the witch.
Does anyone know what it is?
I feel like I know that what Cashtel is.
Cashtel's castle.
Yeah. Castle, that's right.
Because
yeah.
Ballycastle is castle town.
Yeah.
Castle genie? Is it like a man that lives in a castle that grants you wishes?
It was not inspired by Aladdin.
It was the Manx tribute to David Bowie's song, The Gene Genie.
But you said it's something to do with summer.
Yeah. Oh, I gave you too big a clue.
Summer and castle.
Is it?
Sandcastle.
It's Sandcastle. Yes!
Cash out, Jenny.
I was going to get that.
Be quicker, Sam. Be quicker. How did you win the quiz with that lackadaisical attitude?
Wasn't a time drowned.
Right, well, we've spoiled another Manx word of the week because you don't need to find out next week because we've already found out this week.
Sorry, guys.
No anticipation for anyone.
No, but it is improving our Manx week on week. We can hear how it's properly said now.
Yeah.
This is how you say sandcastle in Manx.
Castell Genyi.
Well, thanks to the lads at Culture Vanin for that one. That about wraps it up for this week. Jess, have you got much coming up over the next 7 days?
So I went out to speak to the public, like I normally do each week. And so following up from my cardiac arrest piece, I've asked the public if they've received first aid training or if would they know what to do in a situation where someone collapses and they've got to carry out CPR. And also, do they feel comfortable with using a defibrillator? Because they're all around the island, but do you know how
very
to
well
use one?
Very well served for defibrillators.
Yeah, they are. They definitely are.
So?
Those are good questions.
Yes. Was it... I don't want you to spoil...
I don't want to spoil, no. So you've got to read
was
the...
Were you surprised by the answers?
I wasn't surprised, but I thought it was quite interesting. I'm looking out into the distance there, distracting you guys. I wasn't surprised. I was more... it was quite clear how times have changed in terms of younger people knowing more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't cut it short there. We don't want to stop people rushing out for the examiner on Tuesday and finding out what, the state of our cardiac arrest first aids are.
The other story that I'm hoping to get into the examiner is, Richard sent this through to me. It's a hunky calendar.
Oh.
So.
You didn't get that one, Sam.
I read it.
Is it Fleece Wearers of the Year 2020? You and Dave Norton.
Liverpool jackets.
I've missed October.
So it's one of the gyms here in the Isle of Man that's doing it for charity. But I'm, again, going to leave that for you guys to
read.
Have
you seen a sneak peek of the...
I've not seen it, no. So
even more tantalising.
Yeah.
Katie, much in the world of distribution this week?
We're quite excited. Well, I'm excited anyway because I love this competition. It was the Design and Ad
competition. You mentioned this last week.
Yep. So the award show will be on Monday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the winners will be there with their families and they'll get to show their advertisements they've designed. So that'll be a fun afternoon.
And then there'll be a supplement on that in the newspapers? And
yes, so you'll be able to see all of the winning ads. And
yeah.
So there's some really, really great entries this year.
Cool.
That's so good.
Sam, much on your plate, so to speak?
Outside of work, of course, it's busted on Monday night.
Yeah, of course, yeah. You're very excited about that, aren't you?
For going into the week, yes, actually, there's one thing I'm really looking forward to, is ghost hunting at Milntown.
What?
Is Derek Acora involved?
I don't know.
Are you going with John Madrill, the photographer?
I hope so.
Yeah, that would be...
Maybe get all of us on the podcast to go.
I want to go ghost hunting.
I get scared by things like that.
We did too.
So you said you didn't want to go and do the feature
because I got
get
it
scared
first,
of ghosts.
And then I was like, "Sam, do you want to take over?"
I did really no ghost.
I did a escape room in Dusseldorf on Sunday, and it was themed around Tesla. You know the man.
Oh yeah.
And it was his ghost, and several of us within the group nearly it tested the reinforcements of our emodiums at that point. Because it was very scary.
So, like, what did they do exactly?
Well, there's just stuff like dropped from the ceiling and things like that, and he spoke in a haunted voice, like, "Thank you for resurrecting me." And also, it was very scary, especially when you're very hungover. So, I don't think I'm the man for this mission.
It's a good job they don't do escape rooms in Amsterdam, isn't it?
They probably do.
I've never bothered to go look for.
Yeah, everywhere's got them now, haven't they?
Yeah,
I went to one in Riga. It was Escape from Soviet Russia, the theme.
Oh my god, that's a bit on the nose.
And we got to dress up and things, and the other girls, they did the Harry Potter one next door.
Right.
I think we should do the one over there, because I've never been to it. Has anyone ever been to that one?
Yeah.
I've done the Alice in Wonderland one.
Oh, it's a new one. I've done the one where you're a policeman.
Have you done any of them?
I have not done any.
I'm useless. I have very small hands, so I'm good at like sticking my hands in walls and finding clues, but I can't solve them.
Right.
We should.
That's my strength.
That's what you bring to the table.
We haven't
had a podcast bonding session for a while. We should do that at some point.
We should. And we could record. Although they wouldn't let you do it. They wouldn't let you record it. We'd have to then recreate it after.
So we could do like a radio show.
Yeah.
About the Archers. Where's the key?
On that bombshell, maybe you can contact us throughout the week at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. All, if you've piqued the interest in any of the stories we featured this week, they're all available as a digital edition at iomtoday.co.im. And click on the digital editions tab, my third favourite tab on iomtoday.co.im. And they're all on there, aren't they, Katie?
Yep, along including with a lot of our supplements that have featured in the papers over the last few months.
And you can get the Courier for free on there. Yeah.
Every Friday, it's there for free.
Yeah, you're stupid if you don't have a look on that.
Right.
You are. It's stuff for free. Stuff for free.
Yeah, yeah. Why not?
If you feel like writing us a letter or a postcard, unless you're in Germany when they don't have postboxes, please do send us a mail to ION News Podcast at ION Newspapers, European House, Beale Road, Douglas, IM15ED. Have you had a phone call yet?
Do you know what? I did notice, I sent my postcard the other week and it arrived this week and I realised it took so long because I got the postcode wrong. I'd had a few drinks by that point and I put the wrong postcode on my postcard.
There was a family in Iceland who were really surprised to hear about how Katie thought it was.
Yes. Right, on that bombshell, until next week.
Bye for now.